May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So I'm going to play my one-string fiddle again today. It was 40 and a half years ago, 40 years ago and about six or seven months, that as a miserable Christian, I was a miserable Christian who lived in defeat. I had a real heart for God. There was a growing love for Him, but I was constantly frustrated with my own walk. And I just sort of basically lived this up and down life of failure, promising God that I would do better, and then learning how to do what most Christians did, and that was fake it really good so that nobody would know that. And it was that verse from John 10:10 that I kept going back to, and that was really kind of the thing that God captured my heart that gave me hope. Because when I read that, I saw, I came to you, and in Southern, it's y'all, it means it's plural, so it can mean everybody. He said, I came that y'all might have life and have it more abundantly. And I realized that Jesus did do that. And I believed Him, and I also realized, therefore, my not experiencing it couldn't be His fault. Because He's not a liar. That there was something I wasn't getting, something that I was missing. And that opened me up for God to begin to speak some things to me. One, being convinced that it was true. And then secondly, that it wasn't His fault that I wasn't experiencing it. So show me where I'm missing it. And that's when God began to speak into my life in revelatory ways that over a few months period of time changed my life completely. I think one of the real keys, there are certain words in Scripture that open up everything else. And I've talked about this some, so bear with me if you've heard me talk about this. But one of the key phrases or key words that opens up Scripture, that opens up revelatory things in the New Testament, is the words, two words, eternal life. And that we think of it in our evangelical world in light of the fact that, okay, I was lost. I did the Baptist bar mitzvah, I prayed the prayer, asked Jesus to come live in my heart. And at that moment, I received eternal life, which meant I'm going to get to go to heaven one day. My sins are forgiven. I'm not going to go to hell. I'm going to go to heaven, and I'm going to live forever. But that's really not what eternal life means. The word eternal life carries the idea, especially if you read through the Gospels, particularly in the Gospel of John, that when Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly, He was talking about eternal life. In John 3:16, He says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him would no longer perish. And the word perish means ruin. Would no longer ruin their life, but have eternal life. And eternal life is life and life more abundantly, and now it'll be experienced forever. But every person has eternal life in the sense that everybody's going to live forever. Every soul is going to live forever. So it can't just mean duration of time. It's got to mean more than that. There's a place in John 17 that says this. Where Jesus says, and this is eternal life, and this is the grammar, this is what it should say, that they would experience you, Father, the only true God, and experience Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life is the eternal adventure of being in an experiential relationship with Jesus. It will last forever, but it begins the moment you become a Christian. This is 1 John 1. This is one of my favorite places that talks about this. What was from the beginning, and what we have heard, and what we have seen with our eyes, and what we beheld with our hands handled concerning the word of life. And the life, uses an article there, the life, was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life. Not eternal life as a subject, not eternal life as an it or a thing, but the eternal life. What did they handle? What did they see? What did they touch? Jesus. He's called the eternal life. And then in 1 John chapter 5, he says this, verse 11 and 12. And the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life, past tense. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has that life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have that life. So in simplicity, what is eternal life? Eternal life is the life of Jesus experienced and enjoyed. The scripture says that because of what Jesus did at the cross, we were included into his life. I'm in him, he's in me. That's called union. It's a oneness. It's this mutual indwelling. So let me break it down even more. Eternal life is your union with the life of Christ. It is the life of Christ experienced as your very life. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now when Christ, who is your life, is manifested, you'll be manifested with him in glory. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. That's eternal life. And if you'll understand that, you go back and read, particularly the Gospel of John, and you start to see how many times the word eternal life is used, it'll blow your doors off, going, oh my gosh, he's talking about the life that he lives, which is life and life more abundantly. And I'm in union with that life. I share that life. That life is to be experienced and enjoyed and to be manifested in and through me. That's eternal life. So when we talk about abundant life, we talk about victorious Christian living, supernatural Christian living, we talk about the glorious freedom that Romans 8 speaks of the children of God. We're talking about eternal life. It'll last forever. But it began the moment you got saved, because he who has the Son has that life. It's not about, well, one day maybe I'll break through and get that life, that victorious life. No, he broke through and you got that life the moment you got saved. He's already broken through. Well, but I'm looking for the victory. You've already got the victory. The victory is a person. No, you don't understand. I'm looking for fullness. You got fullness the moment you got saved. You may not have discovered it and manifesting it, but that's eternal life. And that's always encouraging to me, because I meet people all the time. I was the same way. They're trying to get this thing. They're trying to get there. Whatever that is. I just want this breakthrough, so I'm not being controlled by these things anymore, so I'm walking in freedom. I know the wonders of supernatural living on the inside victoriously over the power of sin, supernatural ministry being manifested through me, things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control as a 24/7 sort of automatic pilot thing. I want to get there. Well, you understand that you've been there since the moment you got saved. This is what it says. Great scripture. Now you understand about eternal life. This is Romans 6:23, and he's speaking to Roman believers. For the wages of sin is death. And that was the truth. That is true. Sin kills, doesn't it? It just kills your emotions. It kills your thought life. It kills relationships. It's just a killer. He's not talking about whether you're going to go to heaven or hell in this verse. That's not the context. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you're in Christ, then you already have the free gift of victorious Christianity. You have the free gift of supernatural life. You have the free gift of a holiness of life and the free gift of supernatural ministry that which Jesus does. You got that. It's a free gift. You don't have to beg for it anymore, plead for it anymore, fast for other things. Fast for the manifestation. For God to open your eyes to discover more. But it's already yours as a free gift. It's a hymn. I'll read one more, then we'll end. I read some of this yesterday, but this is from 1 Corinthians 1:30. But by his doing, You are in Christ Jesus by the Father's doing. You are in Christ Jesus, who has become to us wisdom. Wisdom is a person. And righteousness. Righteousness is a person. And holiness and redemption. Redemption just means freedom, liberation. That's all a person. It's a person living his life out through you, and it's become yours as a free gift the moment you got saved. Yeah, but I want to see more power released in my life. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ, the power of God. He's the power of God. You know, but I've got to get more. I mean, isn't that what they say? You got to get more? No, you got it all. As a matter of fact, you've had it all from the moment you said yes to him. He just wants us to believe. If it's a gift, you already got it. We don't have to walk around beg for it anymore. We just need to open the gift and start celebrating. That's what faith is. A celebration of the gift of God by grace. Right? For the God of limitless ability has abounded all grace to you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to all good work. And grace has a face, and that face is Jesus. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.